Good evening. We'll wrestle the people in. I go by cell phone, so I always give people a minute, just in case their cell phone is off. We had counsel that you should start on time and let people learn to catch up, right? Well, welcome. Glad you're here. Hopefully there's a song on your heart, some prayers on your lips. How many come here tonight so we can have some fun with the Lord? We're going to rejoice in the Lord, right? And we're going to sing. Hopefully we're going to learn some things or have our minds refreshed to things that we may have forgotten. Looking forward to the weekend. The hope and prayer, my hope and prayer anyways, is that when this weekend is done, nothing else, that we truly understand the power of prayer, who the Holy Spirit is, and why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll find out that everything in the Bible, no matter what we do, whatever ministries, comes full circle to prayer and Bible study works, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So why pray? A lot of people ask that. I know I've been challenged over the years. How many people have ever heard it, why pray? Because God knows everything and He knows how it's in, so what's the use of praying? That's a common question. And we as Christians need to have answers for these things because these are serious. There's a lot of people out there. God gets blamed for everything, doesn't He? So we have to show Him the difference of love and sin and how Satan has tricked us. So anyways, so we're going to start off with some songs. Then we'll go right into the discourse. I have a couple books I got to figure out how to get rid of tonight, so we'll see who behaves. I'll be looking to see who smiles the most. They might get one. Someone falls asleep, I might call on them to embarrass them so they missed out on their book. Just kidding. So anyways, and you don't want to miss tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 9:30, we're going to start praise and prayer. It's a little different agenda for the normal Sabbath here. And we're going to, again, well, there's going to be a lot of music this weekend, so hopefully you like music. We have about 24, 25 songs. Some of them are in the sermons and before, etc. Up close and personal, in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 13, it tells us that we are to examine ourselves. But how do we examine ourselves? How do we know where we are at with God? Is there a way to do it? What are these big titles like sins of omission, sins of commission, etc.? So my prayer is that we can just bring the simple gospel back to being simple. But I can promise you, if you come here prayerfully tomorrow at that 10 o'clock, that up close and personal, you will see an inventory list biblically of how you'll know where you really stand with God. And so my prayer, and again, I'm going to ask everybody, we just need to be honest with ourselves through the weekend. It's really easy to rationalize things and say things, but God knows everything. So we can't lie to God. We can lie to each other. But so just let your heart be open, and we'll see where the Lord leads. If the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart, this is open. You know, I'm just facilitating. So if we'll get the praise team to come up, we'll come up and sing.
Set songs in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wonderful words of life.
Yes, wonderful.
Matthew 13:15-16. For this people's heart are is waxed gross, and feet there, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand that their heart with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Open my eyes. Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. By faith we may look to the hereafter and grasp the pledge of God as a growth of intellect, the human faculties uniting with the divine, and every power of the soul being brought into direct contact with the source of light. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Sad will be the retrospect in that day when men shall stand face to face with eternity. The whole life will present itself just as it has been. There will be no future probation in which to prepare for eternity. It is in this life that we are to put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. This is our only opportunity to form characters for the home which Christ has made ready for those who obey his commandments. Christ's Object Lessons 3:19. Revelations 22:3-4. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Music is such a beautiful instrument of praise and worship and prayer, isn't it? You know, we're told that when things are rough, and I know for a fact it works. When I was working, especially when I worked in a mental institution for a while, I had to leave because I was going to become a resident if I didn't. It was a tough career field for me, but when you had those days, and I remember that writing, it says when things are tough and this and that, just start singing to the Lord. Now, sometimes it takes a half hour, but you know, there's just so much power when you sing praises to the Lord. It just drives the devil away. It drives him nuts. And it gets rid of our nuts and gives them to him, eh? Why pray? Why do you pray? You can participate, you know. Connection with our Lord. Pat? Tell them what's on your mind. Okay? Pardon? It's the key. Opens all of heaven. Faith unlocks the door, right? Well, we're going to see, hopefully, why we pray, what we need to pray for. We want to take a little glimpse at Jesus and what his prayer life was like, since that's who we're supposed to be like. But it really is important, because in the world, they blame God for everything, and we have a God of love, do we not? And amens are okay. That's all right. We don't have to be Baptist or Pentecostal. We can do that. It's okay, if you agree. But even if we don't understand it at the time, we need to trust that God is in charge, and whatever he's doing it in love. And we're going to see some of that tonight. We're going to see what the world really is. And those who have been in our prayer meetings find that I do like to challenge people, and I like to be challenged, because I believe we really need to do that. Otherwise, we get too comfortable as Christians, and it's a dark, dying world. And the Lord has called us to be his disciples. He didn't call us to be pew warmers, right? No amens on that one, huh? We just heard a song the other day, "Don't Sit in My Pew." So, I love you, but don't sit in my pew. Well, let's begin. Before we begin, I want to have a word of prayer. Father God, again, we just come to your throne of grace, asking for your mercy and your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us today, Father. Truly open our hearts and our minds, Lord, and our ears, that we'll hear only what it is you want us to hear. Speak powerfully with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that every time we get together, there are going to be spiritual battles here tonight. So I ask that you drive Satan and all of his hosts from this sanctuary, Lord, and that we see your love the way you want us to see it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So why do we pray? Well, because prayer will change you, doesn't it? How does it change you? Well, we'll go into some of that in a little bit. Actually, this first slide could be the whole sermon and we could go home early. But I was reading the other day where Paul stayed, what was it, midnight when the dude fell out of the window and he had to go bring him back to life. So we'll get you out of here before midnight. No amens on that, all right. I'm going to pump you. But we pray because Jesus did he not? Is he our example? Did not he command us to do the same? Did he command us? I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations. Notice it's the house of prayer, not just a house of prayer, but the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Three times he quoted that. So why do we pray? Satan and his evil angels take no time off, do you agree? They work 24/7 for one purpose only, and that's to prevent us from establishing a saving relationship with the Lord. He doesn't care if we know a lot about Jesus. He just doesn't want us to know Jesus, right? And there's a big difference, and that's how I was my first 17, 18 years as an Adventist. I didn't even know the difference, just because I was brought in through theology instead of relationship. And it was frustrating. But you get excited once you get the picture and you understand that you really are set free, when you understand justification. And so who's here tonight that's Adventist, we need to learn more about the justification side so we're a little more excited about Jesus. We got the sanctification down maybe a little too much. You go into the other denominations and they have the justification but don't have the sanctification. But real quickly, God is love. In the Bible, it tells us that his law is not grievous. And I used to be one of those Christians that said, I tried to keep the Ten Commandments. Anybody here ever tried to keep the commandments? Eileen, me and my wife, I guess we're the only ones. You guys have been blessed. We weren't blessed that quick until we really understood Christ and his righteousness and the faith of Jesus and faith in Jesus, etc. I'm going to read, and you'll hear these a couple times this week, and this is just to give us a big picture, hopefully to wake us up. And when I read these statistics, again, please don't let them just be numbers. Let them be people's faces. And everyone in here is probably included in one of these statistics, and this is only a partial list. But we're in a spiritual battle. The war is real, and so is the victory. Amen? We have the supreme commander in chief, but Satan is a strong leader too. He has some powerful people out there doing some powerful things, and we need to realize that. So when we see that God is love, see, for me, before I was a Christian, I did what I thought was morally right. Some of it I knew wasn't probably the best, but I didn't think it was bad because most people were doing it anyways, and so that's what you were. But when I came to the Lord and I started reading what he says about marriage and what he says about fornication and what he says about this and that, it changes your whole outlook. And so at first, if you come in without a relationship and you come in legalistic, you're going to have a rough road ahead of you. But if we come in understanding that Jesus already accomplished it for us and we really understand what that means, victory after victory will happen in our lives. But this is what's going on in the world, and this is since last Sabbath. This means this goes on 24/7. And these are a couple of years old. Some of them have increased. Some of them may surprise you. But God called us to be disciples. And us, as Adventist Christians, I believe he's given us a lot of extra light to share. We're to obtain knowledge. What we learn or reminded of tonight is to be used for God's glory to win souls to the kingdom. Amen? We're not to gather information so we can be good theologians and become Pharisees and we'll start arguing scriptures and who can throw the most scriptures out wins. We're to learn. It helps us to have a closer relationship with the Lord. It helps us to do what we're supposed to do with the Lord. and we need to show God's glory and love. So as we start discipling, when we start getting on fire and doing what we're supposed to do for the Lord in this community, we're going to run into this stuff right here. And here's the catch, and here's the key, and this is what I'm really praying for the weekend, that we grasp and understand. God is not going to fill this church up until we as a people are ready to receive Him. Do you agree? We love God because He first loved us. And they're going to love us if we first love them. And so I challenge at the prayer meeting, I'll challenge it here, is that when we examine our hearts, and we need to examine them a lot, if someone comes into this church and it's pretty obviously they're homeless, life has been rough for them, and they smell of alcohol and smoke, be honest with your heart right now. When you look and see that, do you say, boy, I hope they don't sit next to me? Or are you saying, praise the Lord, they're in the right place, and Lord, what can I do to bring them to your throne of grace? What can I do? It's individual. It's not what can Larry do, or what can David do, or whoever. So here's what's going on in the world, and this is happening in Sutherland too. Doesn't matter how small your town is, how big. Every 7 days since last Sabbath, 27,000 foreclosures, 32,000 runaways and missing, 323 women were killed by domestic violence, 42,000 were injured by domestic violence, 76,900 cats and dogs put to sleep, 6,700 seals beat to death. Binge drinking is now down to 12 years old. It used to be 15 to 18. Now it's 12 to 17. So the binge drinking in this last week, $57,532. $10,080,000 was spent on alcohol, and 40% of that was by students. Students. Don't think because we're Christians or carry that title that we're exempt from these things. We are not. $31 million was spent on pornography, and 217 adult movies were produced again. 308 teens were murdered, 27,000 bankruptcies, 51,903 foreclosures, 15,300 suicide attempts, 588 successful, 2,500 new cases of cancer, 25,000 deaths from cancer, 19,600 teenage pregnancies, 23,000 abortions, 38,000 new cases of STDs, 1,700 children victims of incest, almost 1,800 men were raped, 3,300 women were raped, 19,000 divorces, 59,000 bought new digital TVs, 288,000 starved to death worldwide, 55% of them under the age of 5 years old. None of us here, well, some of us, missionaries, may have seen people starve to death. Most of us probably have never seen somebody that low on the pole. 4 years ago in the United States, it was 1 out of 8 children under the age of 12 went to bed hungry every night. It is now 1 out of 5 children go to bed hungry every night in the United States. But we don't feel that in Sutherland, do we? But it's real. I'm from New York. Go to New York, you'll find out how real it is. Go down into Harlem and places and just see what's going on. But God had a solution in John 12:32. He says, if I be lifted up, it will draw all men unto me. Now, that's the result of us not obeying God. So which is more grievous, having a society filled with that, or if we followed His 10 rules? It's been estimated that 32 million laws have been put into existence since creation of man. I don't know how they come up with the numbers. The Lord gave us 10 that work real well, amen? So I'm going to cruise through some of this. I do have everything on the screen is printed, so if you want a copy of what you see, just holler at me and I'll be glad to give it to you. So let's move on. So why did Jesus pray? And how did He pray? And what did He pray for? Remember, Jesus' humanity made prayer a necessity, right? We too often probably rationalize that, well, He's God, that's why He could do it. No, He showed us what we have to do to be victorious. He came in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Himself, while He dwelt among men, was often in prayer, seeking from His Father fresh supplies of strength that He might come forth braced for duty and trial. Quote, Jesus himself, while he dwelt among men, was often in prayer, seeking from his Father fresh supplies of strength that he might come forth braced for duty and trial. His humanity made prayer a necessity and a privilege. He found the comfort and joy in communion with his Father. And where all the quotes are on the printed page. I forgot to mention that to you. So let's examine some of his life a little closer. His disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught. So he led by example. So when Jesus was upon the earth, he taught his disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast all their care upon him. He also taught them to pray, not just how to pray, but we need to pray, as he said. And the assurance he gave them that their petitions should be heard is assurance also for us. Amen? He hears our prayers. Prayer gave Jesus the strength he needed for every area of his life. He knows the spiritual battle we are in. How many times we quote Ephesians 6:12, which we'll do tonight again, but it's real. It's not just words. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, read it with me, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those statistics, just imagine if that was you, and I'm involved in several of those statistics in there. They are no fun, they are painful. People are weeping all the time in this society. And we have a message of hope in a world that is probably more hopeless than it's ever been in its history. More hopeless. 7,900 people in Sutherland is what I read on the internet. I don't know if that's true or not. And so how many are in this church? You know, so we got a work to do. But this weekend's going to show us how to accomplish that. And it's pretty exciting. The strength of Christ was in prayer. With intense earnestness, he poured out his supplications, put forth all the strength of his soul in grasping the hand of the infinite. Few will follow the example of our Savior in earnest, frequent prayer to God for strength to endure the trials and to perform the daily duties of this life. And has given an example to his followers that the watchfulness and prayer and persevering effort were necessary on their part if they would rightly represent the love which dwelt in his bosom for the fallen race. When we really see the world for what it is, I hope that it at least puts a tear or two in your hearts, that you look at that and can honestly say, but by the grace of God, there goes I. The average person in this country now is 3 paychecks away from losing their homes and being homeless. Not 3 months, 3 paychecks. Not a pretty place. It's going to get worse. Jesus wrestled in prayer and prayed earnestly. How many of us have ever wrestled in prayer? Have we had struggles? Yeah. Our Savior had the same problem. Then said it then, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Many are content with lip service, but few have a sincere, earnest, affectionate longing after God. And again, that's what the hope for this weekend is that we will see we really have a greater need, that we're maybe a little too comfortable, that we need to be right with God. And to get right with God, we have to get right with each other. Do you agree? The family on earth, family in heaven, one and the same. Again, you know, if you examine your heart, and when you come into church, if you look and you see somebody and you say in your heart, I don't want to sit next to them, but I want them in heaven. Something wrong with that picture, right? I've done it. I've done it a lot of times in the past, but we got a gracious Lord, so when we repent, we're forgiven. Christ wrestled in earnest prayer. He offered up his supplications to the Father with strong crying and tears. Behalf of those for whose salvation he had left heaven and had come to this earth. Just visualize that's the love of God. Lives in a perfect atmosphere, loved by everyone supremely, and he comes down here because we've messed up so much. And then he endures the cross and all the stuff that he had to do, all the training. I don't know your church board pastor, but look at the church board that Jesus had, those 12. That was a rough church board to deal with, right? And how proper, how essential that men should pray and not faint. Jesus prayed to be prepared to do special tasks. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Anyone here ever been to an all-night prayer meeting by any chance? Just curious. Okay. I used to wonder how you could pray for 5 minutes, more or less, all night. You'd be surprised how fast evenings can go. Jesus, when preparing for some great trial or some important work, would resort to the solitude of the mountains and spend the night in prayer to his Father. We too must have time set apart for meditation and prayer and for receiving spiritual refreshing. We do not value the power and efficacy of prayer as we should. Notice it says meditation and prayer. Prayer is what I do. That's what I talk to God. Meditation is I learn to listen to God, right? How do you know your shepherd's voice if you're doing all the talking? It's really that simple. How many ways God can talk to us? Maybe in the future I have one that says, what does God sound like? So there's a lot of ways God can talk to us. But the bottom line is we have to be in prayer and in tune and seeking in the right spirit. And the Lord will take us there. Jesus taught us how to pray for forgiveness. I'd like to spend a whole hour just on forgiveness, but I do have a pass out for that tonight. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So if you think of a Savior, he was beaten, not just beaten, he was thrashed, whips with bones in it, bleeding all over. I mean, every part of his body had aches in it. Carrying a cross, dropped in there, jolted, thorns on the head. And he turns around and says, forgive them. You know, it took me 12 years to learn how to forgive my ex-wife. It took me 12 years to learn to separate the sin from the sinner. But we have to do that, folks. It's pretty simple. We need to examine our hearts. The gospel's really simple, right? The Holy Spirit pricks my heart. I come and see a need for Jesus. I repent. I'm told what repentance is about. I accept Christ as my Savior. Now I continue learning about him and discipling with my fellow church members. And while I'm being sanctified, while the Lord is making me fit for heaven, I can relax because I'm justified for what Jesus already done. Amen. Now I hear some amens on that. Jesus already did that. And so we need to... It's just so simple. And when the Lord says this, you tell me what this means. He says, if you don't forgive, my Father can't forgive you. So now what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean as a Christian? If I can't be forgiven, where's my eternity going to be? Because I have to transfer my sins. I have to give them to Jesus, right? It says, confess my sins, I give him my sins, he died for my sins. That's that second death. But if I'm not willing to forgive you, and I mean forgive, not just say I forgive, but where the heart says, Lord, and you tell me you need the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive. There might be little things that are easy to do, but there's going to be challenges in life that aren't so easy. Forgiveness is a powerful gift only by God, and we're only going to get it in the prayer chamber. We need to examine our hearts as preparation for coming before God in prayer, that we may know what manner of spirit we are of. If we do not forgive those who have trespassed against us, our prayers for forgiveness will be not heard. It's really simple, isn't it? Sin cannot go back to heaven. So I confess my sin to my Savior. My Savior died. That allows me a ticket to heaven. I just have to stay on the right side. The question is, do I have a heart after God? Not am I humanly perfect today. Perfect in Christ, yeah, but have I made mistakes? If I recognize them, what do we do? If you recognize a mistake, what do? Immediately? Repent. It's so simple, isn't it? And say, thank you, Lord. Get excited about it. Upon this petition, Jesus makes a comment. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus left nothing to interfere with his prayer life. Straight away, Jesus constrained his disciples to get in a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. The Bible tells us temperance in all things. Jesus understood the power of prayer. Jesus spent all night at times with his Father in prayer because he had to be prepared for battle, right? When the disciples came to him and wondered why they couldn't cast out that demon, what was Jesus' response? This one only can be cast out by what? Fasting and prayer. So we know that he was already prepared for battle, do we not? He didn't stop and say, well, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray and then I'm going to cast this demon out. And when we're in the prayer chamber, that's what the Lord will do. He'll prepare our hearts. He will prepare our hearts and he'll give us divine appointments. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Christ gave no stinted service. He did not measure his work by hours. His time, his heart, his soul, and strength were given to what? Read it with me. Labor for the benefit of humanity. He was a servant. We are servants, not masters. Is that great? You agree with that? We're servants. That is what our lives need to become. And by God's grace, we can have that. Through weary days, he toiled, and through long nights, he bent in prayer for grace and endurance that he might do a larger work. Can you imagine that? Wanted to do more. With strong crying and tears, he sent his petitions to heaven that his human nature might be strengthened, that he might be braced to meet the wily foe and all his deceptive workings, and fortified to fulfill his mission of uplifting humanity. To his workers, he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Pretty simple, isn't it? Not simple to do, but it's simple to understand what God expects of us. And again, I'm going to emphasize it over and over. If we're in the prayer chamber, really seeking for the Lord and the Holy Spirit, all of this will happen in your life. We will be. Jesus gave all for us. He wants us to give all to him, right? 99% is not good enough. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Have a place for secret prayer. Jesus had secret places for communion with God, and so should we. We need often to retire to some spot, however humble, where we can be alone with God. So, we get the seventh inning stretch, nothing between. We have the praise team come up and join me. Nothing between. If there is, we know how to get rid of it, right? So Jesus prayed on our account. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Father, I desire they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus was often weary from incessant toil and self-denial, self-sacrifice to bless the suffering and needy. The Bible tells us we're to become living sacrifices. That word sacrifice means just what it says. Sacrificing isn't a comfort zone, is it? We may have a little comfort zone to replenish our souls, but a sacrifice means just what it says. We go above and beyond what most people aren't willing to do. He knew that you would be indifferent in regard to your dangers and would not feel your need of prayer. It was on our account that he poured out his prayers to his Father with strong cries and tears. Jesus fasted and prayed. So he said to them, this kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. When Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, he was led by the Spirit of God. He went into the wilderness to be alone, to contemplate his mission and work. By fasting and prayer, he was to brace himself for the blood-stained path he must travel. Again, I emphasize, he knew the spiritual battle we were in. He knew the necessity of staying close to his Father. He knew what his purpose and mission was. Do we know? Proverbs 29:18, for those who know it, say it with me. Where there's no vision, what? People perish. Jesus had a vision, didn't he? He had a purpose in life. We were it. If the Savior of men, with his divine strength, felt the need of prayer, how much more should feeble, sinful mortals feel the necessity of prayer? Fervent, constant prayer. Those who profess the truth for these last days, above every other class of professed Christians, should imitate the great exemplar in prayer. Amen? Jesus taught the importance of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught his disciples that only that prayer which arises from unfeigned lips, prompted by the actual wants of the soul, is genuine and will bring heaven's blessing to the petitioner. I'll submit to you, you can disagree if you like, but I don't believe I can even come to the throne of grace without being prompted by the Holy Spirit to be in the right spirit. Because it's important how we come to God. I mean, we can come as we are, but it's important that we come and want to be in the Spirit with the Lord. None will pray in vain if their prayers are incorporated the principles contained therein. Our prayers in the public should be short and express only the real wants of the soul, asking in simplicity and simple trusting faith for the very things we need. Prayer from the humble, contrite heart is the vital breath of the soul hungering for righteousness. Amen? He taught us to pray for our enemies. How many people find that easy to do? Once in a while. We do get better at it, though. The more love of the Lord we get in our hearts. What was that, Mike? He tells us to do it. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them, which despitefully use you and persecute you. I had a 12-year battle, as I told you, with that one. But the Lord delivered, and I praise the Lord for it. Now, I have a lot of weird things that go through my head, but one of them is that when I have these issues like that now, and I see a person, I look at them in my mind's eye, I see Satan behind them pushing them. That's how I separate the sin from the sinner. And I feel God tugging me, saying, go in there with some love. Calm down. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's not an easy thing. Unless you're in the prayer chamber with the Lord. Let us strive to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Let us pray not only for ourselves, but for those who have hurt us and are continuing to hurt us. Pray, pray, especially in your mind. How many people are familiar with Dennis Smith and his spirit baptism books? He has a book, boy, I'd recommend it for anybody, called Spirit Baptism and Deliverance. And he has what is called a prayer of forgiveness, and I have that. To go deep with forgiveness, I promise you, if you really seeking the Lord for everything in your life, by the time you're done, you'll have some moisture in your eyes. It's the way it works. You can't explain it. The Lord just takes you. It's not just, I'm sorry, Lord, yeah, and I know I did this to my kid. It doesn't work that way. We go deep. It's a beautiful book. So we're in a war, a spiritual war, that in the end determines our eternal destiny. You agree? We have a choice, smoking or non-smoking, right? I prefer the non-smoking, personally. Though he is the Son of God, he strengthens his faith by prayer and by communion with heaven, gathers to himself power to resist evil, to minister the needs of men. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to him, right? Someone mentioned it takes us up to the throne room. It's the key. I think Dave mentioned that. It is the key to heaven. We have God and all his holy angels on our side. All we have to do is ask for them. And if I remember the Bible right, it's 2-1, isn't it? Only a third of the angels got kicked out of heaven. That means not only is God more powerful, but he has He has the enemy outnumbered. That's good for me anyways. The Holy Spirit seeks to abide in each soul. That means you. If it is welcomed as an honored guest, those who receive it will be made complete in Christ. Amen. Freedom of choice. The Holy Spirit impresses and convicts us before we pray. But the Spirit will never, never, never fill us and empower us until we pray. Prayer and faith will do what no power upon earth can accomplish. We need not to be so anxious and troubled. If you learn the promises and just claim those promises in faith, do you believe the promises? I'll get you in a little bit, Diane. Why did God give us promises? Is it just to have words and it's pretty words? If he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, do you believe that? If he says he wishes for you not to perish, do you believe that? If he says, beloved above all, I wish for you to prosper and be in health just as your soul prospered, do we believe that? We believe, help our unbelief. Nothing but the baptism of the Holy Spirit can bring up the church to its right position and prepare the people of God for the fast approaching conflict. We hold in our hands the promise of His Spirit, and ministers may be qualified to give the trumpet a certain sound to arouse the sleeping people and set them at work for themselves and for others out of the fold. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, Here I am. That's a promise. We need to claim them in faith. Almost done. We are told to pray without ceasing. When prayer becomes secondary in our life, then we are putting God second in our life. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I either walk in the flesh or I walk in the Spirit. If I want to walk in the Spirit, I need to be in the prayer chamber. And then I have to go out and continue talking with the Lord throughout the day. That's what an attitude of prayer is. Pray without ceasing. He's our best friend. We just talk to him. I mean, do you talk to him when you go in the grocery store to tell him to go past that temptation? I do. We must develop an attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. When we neglect to pray, we are easily misled by Satan. And that is so true. And it just takes that much, doesn't it? Give him a crack, boy, and he'll just jump right in there. Praying saints are God's agents for him to carry on his saving work on earth. Read that with me. Praying saints, that's us, are God's agents for him to carry on his saving work on earth. So that means we're just a vessel. All we have to do is invite people and give them the good news. We don't have to convert nobody. We don't have to do all that stuff. That's the Lord's. Like those fishermen say, you catch them, he'll clean them, right? That's good news. God wants true revival and true reformation so his kingdom can expand. The spirit of prayer is the spirit of revival. You agree? We want a large family. Who here wants to see anybody, especially anybody that they know lost? And I don't have, any of my children are not in the church right now. I sure don't want to see that day when they surround in the lake of fire and you see burned up. You know, the Bible tells us after that's when all tears are wiped away. That's not going to be a pleasant sight and something God enjoys doing. Can you imagine what it's like if I'm standing there and I'm looking at my mother or my father or my son or my daughter, and because I didn't want to ask the Lord to show me how to witness to them and how to minister to their needs and to do all I can to bring them into the kingdom and watch them just turn into ashes. Not a nice feeling. And God is asking us just to tell. Pentecost was a prayer meeting in the upper room with 120 Christians praying in one accord. There the Lord gave us the standard and pattern of true revival. Isn't that what Pentecost really was? It was a prayer meeting in the upper room. It just lasted 10 days. Maybe we'll have one of those. Who knows? Let us allow God to control our minds. Let us not say or do anything that will turn a fellow being from the right way. We have to invite the Holy Spirit in daily to allow him to work through us. It's a free will choice. It is through the Spirit that Christ dwells in us, and the Spirit of God received into the heart by faith is the beginning of life eternal. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. We'll cover more of that tomorrow. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. the Lord shall raise him up, and if we have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen? That's us. I was led through the life of Christ to see his meek, self-denying life. This great sacrifice was to obtain for us a great salvation. And if we obtain this great salvation, it must be by our making a sacrifice on our part. As Jesus sacrificed for us, we need to sacrifice for him. It's not complicated, is it? And we do this. We'll be having 3 sermons on the Sabbath in this church in a year's time. No amens, huh? Where'd that vision disappear? As he denied himself for us, we must deny ourselves for Jesus. As he endured privation, suffering for us, so we must endure privation, suffering for Jesus. As Jesus endured agony and often was in lonely prayer and in agony of spirit, pleading with his Father, so we, if we are truly Christ's followers, will often feel agony of soul and will pour out our earnest prayer to our Father. So how important is that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives? He's the power that works through us to give us the victory of Jesus. Amen? And how do we obtain the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? That's right. Only by earnest prayer and surrendering our will as he leads us and teaches us. The issue is and always has been worship and obedience through love. Right? Why does God want us to pray? First, it changes me. Then it changes the church. Then it changes the world. And that brings the Lord coming in. And it's always been God's intention from Adam and Eve, even before they sinned. God works through his people, not independent of his people. Amen? What would people be saying if God just did it all without us praying, saying, well, Mike, you didn't pray what I wanted you to, so tough news. There you go, Pat. There you go. The issue is and always has been worship and obedience through love. Who do I worship? Who do I obey? What do I obey? Who do I love? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say try to keep them. An Adventist, you know, we focus a lot on the Sabbath, and rightfully so in one context. But what about the other 9? Because it's a package deal, and all of them are tied together with love. I need to ask myself every day, anything that I'm doing, why am I doing it? Is my motive for love to show God's glory, or is it something I just want an easier time, easier life, or whatever? Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And Paul writes about liars. Where do liars end up if they continue? In the smoking section, right? Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Just over and over, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. It's important to understand that says the faith of Jesus, not faith in Jesus. Both are in the scriptures. But it's the faith of Jesus. Jesus' faith is what took him all the way through this world into heaven. And so he is righteous. He is the one that already accomplished it. So when we allow Christ in us, then we can have his faith. We have his victory. It's really not complicated. Can prayers be an abomination? We'll learn more about that tomorrow. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. That tells us intelligently, obedience, understand. That's what hearing is. We are to seek for the pearl of great price, but not in worldly marts or worldly ways. God calls for willing obedience. He asks you to give up your sins. To him that overcomes, Christ declares, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. And the child of God must search out the sin which he has petted and indulged himself in and permit. That's the key. We need to permit God to cut it out of his heart. He must overcome that one sin, for it is not a trifling matter in the sight of God. We look at Adam and Eve in today's standard, especially with the way the world is, we'd say, what was the big deal? So they had all these trees, and they took one little whatever they took off that tree. The issue wasn't that they took a piece of fruit. The issue was that they disobeyed God. Do you agree? Satan disobeyed and rebelled in heaven, was sent out. And that's the same problem we have. So what we call little sins, yeah, they may be little in consequences compared to other, but in eternity, same result. So if I think I'm good because I only steal a chocolate bar a week out of the grocery store, but this guy is out cheating on his wife or husband or whatever all the time, and I think, well, my sin ain't so big compared to his. But I'm going to be in the same company, aren't I? I'm going to be in the same lake he's in. That's not a good thing. The prayer of faith is the greatest strength, the Christian, and will surely prevail against Satan. This is why he insinuates that we have no need of prayer. The name of Jesus, our advocate, he detests, and when we earnestly come to him for help, Satan hopes, I'm going fast. If we serve his purpose well, we're almost done. If we neglect the exercise of prayer, for then his lying wonders are more readily received. It's just a fact. Closing statement. No amens, huh? Well, we got to get this church going, amen. Remember, Jesus' victory is an accomplished fact, right? All right. He did it for us. We are justified where God is fitting us for heaven. So when we go out and see dark, dying souls, and for us here, I mean, we need to be excited about Jesus Christ. Do we understand? Do we really understand when you were baptized what it meant to be? We should be excited about God. If we're not excited, we need to be in that prayer chamber. That doesn't mean every day, every hour, we're jumping with joy. Don't take it out of the context. But when I think of what Jesus did for me, and that when I fail and I repent, I am forgiven. He took my sin away. Amen? That's good news. And while he takes my sins, he's still fitting me for heaven. He says, Mike, you've got some other things now I need to show you. You need to get rid of them. And sometimes that Mike struggles with some of those because sometimes he likes the sinful things he's doing. I'm being honest, you know. I've learned to enjoy some of those pleasures of sin that I shouldn't enjoy. And again, I could compare him and say, well, it's no big deal compared to this guy goes gambling. Doesn't matter. Sin is sin. When I know that it's something that I wouldn't want Jesus sitting down next to me watching or doing or whatever the case may be, I need to repent. So good news is what? Jesus has already accomplished it, right? And so, in closing, Romans 8:1, if you know it, say it with me. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Let's sing Near the Cross. And then we're going to have a song, Family, that's going to be the theme. Because we are family, are we not? We are family. And the family in church is the family in heaven. There's no difference. And the family in home is supposed to be an extension. Very simple song, but we are family. In so many ways, the church family for me personally is even closer than most of my biological family. And so let us sing it in love. And by the end of this weekend, we should know it by heart so we can hold hands and sing it. Let us pray. Father God, thank you again for your love and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we can still come here in peace and prosperity to give you praise and honor. Lord, we just ask that our hearts will continue to have a greater desire to follow you, to understand more what it is to commune with you in prayer and to learn how to listen to you, Father. And only you, Lord, can put that great desire in our hearts and burden to go out and to win souls and to enlarge the family of heaven, which is your desire. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the work you're going to be doing in this church, the work that you've already done in this church, Father. What a great day it's going to be. What an exciting time is coming. We thank you. As we leave for different destinations now, Lord, we just ask for traveling mercies. Please put a hedge of protection around our cars, vehicles. We can come back here tomorrow morning, 9:30, and rejoice, bring praises on our lips, promises that are precious to us and a song in our heart. In Jesus' holy name. Yeah. Thank you. Again, everything's on print. So if you want to be changed, what do we have to do? Pray. Thank you all for coming out. I know, as Lyle Albright says, I know you could have been other places. Thanks for coming. Thanks for praying.